Oh, is that right? Pleased to meet you.
Just like a butterfly changes from his old clothes, you've changed my heart. You
to reveal unto us the truth. and to liberate us from the captivity of the devil and from the bondage of sin, and to set our foot in right paths, and to lead us unerringly into the kingdom. Now, we are thankful for that. You understand? And we will be forever grateful to Yahweh for saving us out of that bondage of sin. You got to realize what a mess you were in before you can be thankful.
That's right.
You understand? You just got to realize that. And if you do realize that, don't nobody have to go along and tell you, now, be thankful. Be thankful. No, that's just automatic.
That's the truth.
You understand? You're just shocking happy. Now, we all of us in this class, were once in that darkness and that ignorance.
That's right.
We did not know our Heavenly Father as He really is and as He actually exists. There ain't no point in us lying about it. You understand? That's just the truth about it, you see. I know some came in the class here, you know, thinking they had the Holy Spirit when they got here, but they got here and kind of found out what the Holy Spirit was all about. They had to admit, come out of the house. You know, I had a hold of the wrong thing. You understand? You understand? And some of them came in the class kind of thinking that we were halfway saved. And we had to throw it all on the junk pile, too. Now, am I telling the truth about the situation? You see? And that's that subtlety that I was telling you about. Now, the one that Yahweh has sent, see, Yahweh has always qualified the ministers that He sent into the world.
That's right.
He's able to point up the devil and point out the devil to you and explain the whole purpose of Yahweh from beginning to end.
See?
Leaving nothing out. He's supposed to be able to answer all of your interrogation and your questions and your catechizing in reference to what Yahweh has purposed and planned. And if He tell you that you are meddling in God's business when you ask Him one of them hard questions, then He wasn't sent.
Right.
You get my point? Well, He's supposed to be able, see, to look into the deep esoteric secrets of Yahweh and bring all these things to your enlightenment and explain them so that you can see them beyond a shadow of a doubt. And we have looked into so many things, and especially here of late. You understand? You talk about just going out and just picking up gold nuggets and precious gems. You understand? Just everywhere you look. One of them valuable stones. And just put stuff in your pocket, you understand? Everywhere you can get a hold of one, just see?
That's right.
That's what I've been doing. I'm greedy. Like Dr. Mixon said, they didn't have time to counter why he is admiring one of these successful businessmen. He's so busy making money, just stuffing money in all pockets. He had to wait till he get home and start chilling out, start counting up to find out how much he got, you understand? How much he made. We don't have time to count up all the blessings that come to us.
Right.
We're busy collecting them. You see? And I tell you the truth, even the babes in this class are heads and shoulders over the greatest academically trained theologians and scholars that you have out there in the world.
Right.
Now, you might not think so. I can get any one of these little children in this room. My little daughter the other day, the next, well, she's 6 years old. The 5-year-old one was talking to the 6-year-old one and said, talking about ghosts. And the 6-year-old one said to the 5-year-old one, well, there ain't no ghost but the Holy Ghost. Did you hear about that? And I overheard the conversation. And to make sure that she knew what she was talking about, I said, Mary Elizabeth, what is the Holy Ghost? She said, the Holy Ghost is like an angel. Meaning the incorporeal spirit. She knew it wasn't no flesh and blood. Now some of the people out there in the world claim they got the Holy Ghost. You see, and just as scared of ghosts as they possibly can be. If they saw one, they just take off. You understand?
That's right, Dad.
Don't really know what it's all about or anything of that sort. See? But down here in this class, we are raised up. See, from the babe on up to the gray-haired old man. You understand? We're wise.
That's right.
right.
Because we have been taught of Yahweh.
That's right.
And you and nobody else, your pastor, is going to come down here and interrogate us. And we not be able to answer. Nothing is doing. You understand? Nothing doing at all. When I came in this class, I didn't know nothing about no Bible except that Jesus wept. And a whole lot of the rest of you are like that. But I speak with this book under my head now. And you don't ask me. See? I'm not bragging. Not at all. See? I've been taught of the teacher. And you have too. And he's made us wise.
That's right.
See? To all that Yahweh has purposed. And all we're trying to do is pass on this valuable information to whomsoever will.
Yes,
you understand?
Right.
You can have it for the asking. We don't charge you a thing in that door out there. And you don't have to enroll or anything of that sort. So this is a school.
Right.
This is not a church.
Right.
You see? Somebody come along and they think they ask questions. What church do you belong to? They don't know that's a stupid question. The church, in its true and etymological meaning, means congregation or assembly. It is a body of Elohim, or the body of Christ, as you would say. Now, when you ask me what church do I belong to, you are insinuating that Christ has more than one body or more than one bride. You are making a whoremonger out of Christ or Elohim. He's got a whole lot of women. Christ doesn't have a one bride, one body. You understand that there's not the one church or congregation or assembly for anybody to belong to. Now, if you don't belong to that one, you just don't belong to the church. You understand? Now, we don't call this a church like they have out here in the world. This is a school. A school of learning. And look, whether you know it or whether you don't know it, we search into the deep esoteric secrets of Yahweh. See? God is given unto us by Yahweh himself to search into those things. He is willing for you to know all that there is to be known of him. Now, there was a time when it wasn't possible to know these things. Well, the prophet Isaiah wrote, around 700 years before the coming of Jesus, or Yahshua the Messiah. He said, eyes have not seen, neither have these ears heard, and neither has it even entered into the heart of man, not even to his slightest imagination, the thing that Yahweh had prepared for them that loved him. You see, Isaiah did right there, about 700 years before the coming of Yahshua the Messiah. See? But with the coming of Yahshua the Messiah, and the deep esoteric secrets of Yahweh locked up in that one man. For he was Yahweh manifested in the body.
Right.
See? When he left the earth plane, just took off that physical body, and poured out that same spirit into the hearts and minds of men on the day of Pentecost, you see, which secrets have been revealed from that day on down to the present time. See, we are cognizant of that Yahweh has purpose and plan for mankind. And that's the reason why Paul, he repeats what Isaiah said. I'm talking about 1 Corinthians, the 2nd chapter, the 9th verse. He repeats it. But in the 10th verse, and I've heard Christians all over say, eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, and neither has it been in the heart of man, the thing that Yahweh has prepared for them that love him. I've heard them say that time and time again, and they stop right there.
Yeah.
They don't dare go over to the next verse, which is the 10th verse, which says, but. Now that but is stretched all the way from the time that Isaiah said what he said, down to the time that the Holy Ghost was poured out on the day of Pentecost. But, an elastic but, you see, Yahweh has revealed it unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of Yahweh. You understand? So we know the things that Yahweh has purposed and the things that he has planned. And I said we are willing to reveal those unto you down here in this class. Now I'm going to make a couple more statements, and then I'm going to get that on these charts, you see, and start working from these charts, because that's what they're up here for. This is not a stage in which the actors are up here in front, and you keep your eye on me, and this is the background scenery. Get my point? No, your focus is not to be on me. Now, you hear my words. But as far as my looks and my dress and what have you, don't you pay no attention to that. You watch these charts, right? And hear what correlate what I say with what I point to.
Okay.
All right. See, so you have two witnesses,
right.
Seeing and hearing.
That's right.
You get me out of your mind.
All right.
Understand? Right. Because I'm not up here to be cute. Not at all. To show you how much I know. In fact, my fondest endeavor all the time is to break these things down and make them just as simple as I can possibly make them.
Mm-hmm.
So there'll be nothing lacking in your understanding. See? Now, I said I wanted to make a couple more statements, then I'm going to go on. See? Now, I said when Yahweh sends a man, he qualifies.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I am a medical doctor, practicing right here in the state of California. And I've come up against many hard medical cases that the doctors had to give up on. See, say, well, ain't nothing I can do about it. Now look, right at that point in which the man, the doctor, gives up on it, that's where Yahweh takes over.
That's right. That's it.
See? That makes them cases too hard for him.
Yes.
That's right.
Somebody come along and ask another stupid question. Say, do you believe that God can heal your body? As stupid as it can be. Paul said, foolish and unlearned questions of boys. Because what they do, they just gender strike. You understand? Can God heal your physical body? Can Ford, who made the Ford automobile, repair a Ford car?
Yes.
You see, you remember Elijah raising the widow Sarepta's son from the grave?
Right. Mm-hmm.
Even before the time of Jesus. You understand? Remember Elijah or Elisha healing the lepers, was it Naaman? Naaman, you see, the leper. Those healings were going on through the prophets, dispensation of the ages. Then when Yahshua come in, he proved that he was master over that physical
right.
body.
That's right.
And he even referred to himself as a physician. You understand? And you didn't catch him walking around with no black bag in his hand either. And a needle and a syringe. You understand? He said, look, you take one of these every 4 hours. He said, oh, I got to give you a shot. No, he just spoke, and that disease was gone. Is that right? You see? And when he sent his boys out in his name, they did the same thing. Now, that's the way it's been down through the dispensation with those that were truly serve Yahweh. You tell me these things. Why can't he? You understand? Why can't he heal somebody?
And while I'm on that, I was going to make this as a topic discussed a little bit later on down the line, but now the time is right, so I'll crack this one open too.
On page 3 of Elohim, the archetype original pattern of the universe, which the edition just went out, Dr. Kinley had there in his introduction these words. Furthermore, the scriptures state that man was made in the likeness and image of Yahweh Elohim. That's what Moses wrote, Genesis 1, 26. See? Now then, here's the man. And he's willing to admit that he knows very little about the anatomy and the physiology of his own physical body, which he's had all his life. How then can he know so much about Yahweh and Elohim as he actually is and as he actually exists? You answer the question. He's got a body that's made in the likeness and image of Yahweh and Elohim, or made in the likeness and image of God, as you say. He doesn't know anything about his own anatomy and physiology. Now he's going to come up and tell you all about God. Do you get the point? See, now he's lying.
That's right.
He can't even tell you what side your appendix is on.
Mm-hmm.
Or his appendix is on.
Mm-hmm.
And when he gets sick, he's going to see a doctor.
You get the point?
Yet still, he knows all about God. nothing about his own anatomy and physiology. Are we going to expose it before we get down off the floor today? But this one is in our midst. See, that was one of the ways I was attracted unto it. By such a stupendous thing when it was brought to my attention that that's what happened, but I knew I hadn't done it. When my own flesh and blood uncle was raised instantaneously from death, I'll say, but I've never seen in my life anybody any closer to death and recover. Yahweh ain't never takes advantage. You see, he let it become a hard situation so it won't be no doubt in your mind at all that he was functioning there.
Yeah.
He let me exhaust all of my possibilities and all the other doctor's possibilities when it came to getting that man well. I was the last one to give up on him. See, two or three others especially gave up on him before I did. Because I was flesh and blood, I hung on for the last minute. And finally, I had to give up. You understand? And that's when he walked in. See? He said, "Body, live!" See, and the man got up from there. See, there might be some people visiting in the congregation today. I'm saying this for their benefit, and they're right in the same town. I don't even know what they're here about. See? They're right up the street from Brother Farley. You understand? And they know that I was a doctor. And if they went to see Brother Farley, and if they didn't, they heard about it, they found out how close to death Brother Farley was. Everybody in town was saying he was going to die. In town and all over the valley and all over the state, because the man was well known. 33rd degree Mason. Prince Hall affiliation. You understand? But the one of Yahweh sent, proving that he was sent from Yahweh. He just came by this body live. No harvest, not an olive oil. No Pompeian olive oil. You understand? Nothing like that. Don't put your hands on me. Keep your hands off of me. Just speak the word. Somebody said the word? Yeah, this is the word. He brought everything into existence. It was spoken into existence. David said, he commanded, and it stood fast. He spoke, and it was done. You understand? So just by the word, things happen. Back there. Now, if you are all one sent from Yahweh, then you ought to be able to do something.
Mm-hmm.
See? And furthermore, you ought to be able to know what's going on in the world. What's the point of you going around having some counsel with this one and counsel with that one? Now, what do you think about it? Let's get our heads together. And let's look into the matter. See? Don't you know nothing about the counsel of Yahweh? He said, declaring the end from the beginning. Remember the former things of old. For I am Yahweh and there is none else. I am Yahweh and there is none like me.
Okay.
Declaring the end, see, right from the beginning, see, and also things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel.
That's right.
Not the ecumenical counsel, not the counsel of preachers and priests. See, not the Baptist council or the Methodist council. Then my council shall stand and I will do all my pleasure.
Right.
You understand? See, Yahweh set up his purpose and plan way back there in the beginning. See, and it's been rolling off according to his dictates and his plan, purpose, and the pattern down through the dispensations and ages. Now, if he was truly sent from him, then you ought to know his purpose. And what is coming up next? See? What is your thing? Now, the one who sent to us, he kept us informed all the time about what was going on in the world. Is that right?
Right.
You are witnesses yourself. Who knew about President Kennedy's nomination, election, and his assassination before it happened? Is that right?
Right.
And one of the young men that had heard Dr. Kennedy said that in this class, he's going on off to the army. You understand? And he was standing at parade dress at attention on a hot day down in Florida, I believe it was, when the news came over the air that Kennedy, President Kennedy had been assassinated. See? And it kind of reminded me of what happened to Peter down there at Cornelius' house. Didn't remember now the words of the Lord. You understand what I mean? As far as remember what Dr. Kennedy had said and the impact of that prophecy coming true. Just call him and just fall out there on the ground. This suddenly is like he's been hit by a bolt of light.
Mm-hmm.
Understand? They had to pick him up and revive him. See? They didn't know what had happened to him. He remembered. He had said that. You understand what I'm talking about? And all other things that are going on in the world. The moonshot and all that. We know all about those things. We come down here and ask. And we know of things yet to come.
Yes, ma'am.
You see? But even greater than the things that have already happened.
Right.
Now this man has kept us abreast of those things.
Right.
I said that for the benefit of the newcomers. See? So they will know that we are not a bunch of stupid down here. We are not a bunch of ignorant people. You see? We got the genuine truth.
Right.
See?
That's right.
You would think, well, they have lost their mind. Yes, we have lost our mind.
That's right.
And we are awfully bad up. Because you can't be saved with that mind you got.
That's right.
That's a carnal mind.
That's right.
And a carnal mind is enmity to Yahweh.
That's right.
Because he's spirit.
That's right.
You don't lose that mind, you can't make it.
That's right.
I'm so happy.
Yes,
Paul said, I'm a fool. Yahweh said, and I'd like to be called one myself. So that's a fulfillment of prophecy. But he said
this.
You ain't got no sense. And you lost your mind on that. That's it. I'm a good with you.
Right.
Ain't no argument between us. None whatsoever. Now, in order to see and understand the purpose of Yahweh, you've got to go according to the way Yahweh has set the thing up. And you yourself know that you can't come in on the middle of anything and understand it. You go to a movie house. Understand? And you go in at the middle of the movie. You don't know what's going on before.
Oh,
and you're trying to pick up the thread of the story in the middle. You don't know the hero from the villain.
Right.
Is that right? Why? Because you didn't start at the beginning. A lot of times it's tough enough if you start at the beginning to find out who the hero and the villain is before the end of the story.
Yeah.
Is that right? Now here we come along way down the road from the time that the purpose of Yahweh was set in order, and we want to come in and know all about it without doing being obedient, going back to the very beginning. You understand? See? And when they were talking to Yahshua the Messiah, wanting to know the things that he was doing, he told the people back there in his time, said, you search the scriptures. See? Now somebody right away would think, well, that's Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. No, sorry, it is not. Because at the time he spoke those words, Matthew had never written that word, and neither had Mark, Luke, or John.
That's right.
Do you understand? And they were walking right around with him. And they had not even begun to write, because they did all their writings after he died. And years after he died, because he said he's going to bring all the things he said to them to that 3.5 years of his ministry back to their remembrance. You understand? So the scriptures he was talking about was the old part of your Bible that you call the Old Testament, which is composed of two parts, the law and the testimony. Understand? Now Yahweh set this up like this. Not we. This is not one of those line of demarcation that we have drawn. Like they got a line of demarcation in this Bible here, you understand, between Malachi and Matthew that they call the New Testament. You see? Got a little fly page in it. And everybody think that is the New Testament. I ain't got time to stop and explain right now. But that is. That's a line of demarcation that the devil put down there.
Yeah, right.
See, to deceive you. You get my point?
Right.
Now that's not so at all. See? Now the law and the prophecy, Yahweh set him up himself. The law and the prophecy both witness to Yahshua the Messiah. See? And he said, you search the scriptures, I'll search the law and the prophecy. For in them ye think ye have eternal life, but they are they which testify of me. And he said, is that the same one that said that? See, that was that spirit that was from the beginning. And he spoke through the mouths of the prophets. As Paul writing unto Timothy said, all scripture that is given by inspiration of Yahweh, you see, is given for correction, for reproof, for instruction in righteousness. You understand? So that the man of Yahweh might be thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So if you want to correct somebody, if you want to instruct somebody, If you want to reprove somebody, you understand, then you have to do it by the law and by the testimony.
That's right. No,
now, he spoke with the mouth of Isaiah and said the self-same thing that he said when he came in the flesh. Search the scriptures, Isaiah 8:20. For in them you think ye have eternal life, but they are they which testify of me. You understand? Now, when we all are obedient unto that commandment and go back and search the scriptures, then we pick up the thread of the story in this fashion. You see? And look, as I said before, you have to be led of someone sent from Yahweh. Because immediately when I would say, go back to the scriptures, he said, all right, then I'll be obedient to what you say. I'll go right on back to the scriptures like you say. I'm gonna show you that I can be obedient. Then you pick up your Bible and you start in Genesis 1:1. You understand? Be obedient. And you miss the golden key. See, even when you go back to the scripture, you still have to be guided by one sent from Yahweh. You see? Because your minister has never told you that the Exodus is from Genesis.
That's right.
Now, I know it says in your Bible here, anybody can read the Bible, Genesis and then Exodus. But you don't know that the Exodus is before the Genesis.
Right.
So, well, what in the world is that man talking about? See? Some people don't even know what the word Exodus means, and I know they don't.
Right.
So I'm putting my dependence on this right now. I don't know what the word Exodus means. It means a departure out of, or a leaving from, or going out, you see. And that Exodus is in reference to the children of Israel exiting, or leaving, or departing from Egypt. You see, going on out into the wilderness of Sinai, you see. And that definitely and positively occurred before Moses was called up into Mount Sinai, you see. And entered into that cloud, which cloud had led them all the way from Egypt, on through the parted waters of the Red Sea, and had hovered over Mount Sinai. And you read over in Exodus 24:16 that the cloud covered the mount 6 days. And you got a column there. And it doesn't tell you right at that place what happened in the cloud while the cloud was covering the mount for 6 days. You understand? See? Then it goes on to say, and the seventh day. Well, look, what happened to the 6 days? See? What went on in those 6 days? See? Well, you have to go back over to Genesis 1:1 and start reading down where it says, in the beginning, and the Lord created the heaven and the earth was not form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of Yahweh moved upon the face of the water, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. You understand? And he divided the light from the darkness. And the light he called day, and the darkness he called night. See? And the evening and the morning were the first day. Then you go on down and read about what he did on the second day, and on the third day, and on the fourth day, and on the fifth day, and on the sixth day. Now those are the 6 days that Moses is up here in the mount, receiving a vision, a rerun of Yahweh and Lord and creating the heaven and earth. Moses didn't know nothing about it. He wasn't there when they were created. Neither was Adam. You understand? At the time that it was created. For it was created not in the realm of time, but in the realm of eternity. And you cannot time the creation by the objects of the creation. If he put the sun in the heavens on the fourth day, and it was put in there for times and for seasons, and it takes the rotation of the earth around the sun, and the rotation of the earth with on its own axis to bring about the day and the night and the seasons of the year, then can you tell me how you can time the creation itself by something that was created? That's just like telling when the watch was made that you're wearing on your arm by the time that the watch is keeping or by the watch itself. You can't do that. See? It'll tell you the time as it is now, but it will not tell you what time the watch is made or when the watch is made.
Right.
You get my point? See? So then, that is what is known as a genesis. That means the generation of, see? Of the creation of the heavens and earth, which Moses is seeing way down the line from the time that the purpose of Yahweh was sent into operation. You see, he sent this in a vision while this cloud covered the Mount of Sinai.
Right.
Old man Arabia, that mountain is standing to this day.
Right.
You understand? See? Now you wouldn't know that, see? Because you start in to read Genesis 1:1. Now this is just what has happened with you. Let me just tell you. See, these people, when they left out of Egypt, see, the cloud led them. It was a pillar of a cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. Is that right?
Yeah.
And they led them all the way up out of Egypt, through the parted waters of the Red Sea, on into the wilderness. And wherever the cloud went, they went. Now, when the cloud stopped, they stopped. They didn't go anywhere but where the cloud led them. You understand? Good. And after that 40 years sojourn, see? And let me tell you this, sometime that cloud would just come over that tabernacle for 2 or 3 weeks, or 2 or 3 months.
Yes,
and they got awfully impatient at times, you know. Now, I wonder when we're going to move on.
Really?
I'm just so sick and tired, I don't know what to do, sitting out here doing nothing. And we're supposed to be going to the promised land. The land flowing with milk and honey. And some of them did get impatient, sir. Well, I'm just cutting out. I'm just tired. You understand? Going off and left the clouds. See? And all out here in the wilderness were wild beasts and starving and hostile nations. And when they left from the protective covering of the clouds,
right.
See, that devil gobbled them up.
That's
what I'm talking about. And even though they went along and were staggering way behind, here's the cloud way up there in front of them. They said, well, I guess I'll make it. I'm following the cloud, all right. I can see it way up there in the distance, God damn. I'm coming. And it says over there in Numbers, the 25th chapter, that the devil picked off the most weary one, or the most backward of those that were straggling along. Get the point? Now, these people never would have made it to Canaan land if it had not been for the cloud. You understand? Now, here we're going to go along. We're going to make this journey ourselves in the spirit. See, we can't make this one. Yeah, we can if we want to go over there, too. Arabia and Egypt. But at this same chapter being made in the spirit by us now. You understand? Yes, you were in the darkness and bondage of Egypt, and your Pharaoh is your pastor.
That's right. That's right.
Your minister.
Yeah.
Your priest. Your pope. Watch it now. Yourself.
Right.
You understand what I mean? And you were, look, we got it black down here, see? You were in ignorance and darkness. See, and Yahweh had to send you a deliverer. See, to lead you out. No way, Bob, escape yourself. No, no, you can't break out of that bondage there.
Mm-mm.
No more than you break out of Alcatraz, you understand? That's a cool example. That's about the best one I can give you. That's supposed to be one of the most impeccable prisons in the world, you understand? See? But this is one you couldn't escape from. Not the first one. Except Yahweh delivered you. Now when they were being led, see, they had to be under that cloud at all times, see. But here we're going to go along, and we're going to make the same spiritual track, see. And here we start in. See, going from Genesis to Revelation in your Bible there, it's just like making that. But when you start in, see, and make that trip all the way through your Bible, see, down to Revelation, trying to understand the purpose of Yahweh, you're on a trip.
Right.
See. If you start off in Genesis 1:1 without the cloud,
right.
You can't make it. In fact, you can't get from Genesis 1:1 to Genesis 1:2. Most of them haven't. I don't have time to stop and explain that either, you see. Now then, I tried to show you how you must go into this. Now you see, here's the way that Yahweh has dealt, see, with mankind, see. At the proper and right time, see, he sent somebody into the world to reveal or to show of his purpose. In other words, he just revealed himself to a man in a vision and a revelation. That's just the way.